approval of 3D. And I, as I sit now, it should probably act a little bit differently. But I, it's actually a Roman one, and all that applies to it. Okay? Alright, so the 2D will just come in and just confirm whether it's in or not. And then we'll have to debate this. Okay, now there's the big controversial clause, because of what's happened here.
What we have done is we have clarified it, because previously the other than created confusion, instead of the probably didn't know where the area 11.1.2.14 is actually included or excluded in part of the minister, and we just wanted to clarify that it's excluded.
So it remains the preserve of the problem. The provinces will call, sorry, not the provinces, whatever competent authority deals with those areas will deal with between two provinces. Is that right? Yeah, that's what it means. See, so originally they wanted to take out everything after the word or, sorry, other. And that would have meant that we take all those powers away from other competent authorities. And our questions were then, but have you got the capacity to do it nationally? And is it advisable that you do all those nationally? And, I think we now come back and say, that wasn't the intention. We want to keep it as it is. We just want to make it very clear that other than means excluding, so that that is what the competent authority is called them. So that whole big research and debate we wanted is then not in that. Okay? Everyone happy with this? Take this much further. Okay, now, this is here. You have to look at more carefully your next two amendments, because they have huge constitutional consequences of the issue of the system. This is the attempt from the department to deal with. Now, let's explain the first one to us again, Ms. Garlick. You're actually adding an area into the Act which you are to make a national competence. So there will always be a national competence. And it's the example you gave us is the one that is now under renewable energy. At the moment, application for renewable energy has to now go through a whole lot of provinces and departments. And it's creating huge problems with development and moving with these things. And moving evenly with it. Because one problem may be one thing and the other. So what the suggestion is to create a national competence that the cabinet decides that the national must actually, that the national department must be the competent authority. Then that would be the case. As, for example, they've done in renewable energy. So then there's a decision, not from the minister, but actually from the whole thing, to say, this must take place there. Can we have some further explanation around this? And then we'll, I'm sure members will want to have some discussion on this. One thing I do want to know is it correct by just to say, declare a national priority? I'm not talking about the principles, I'm adding the principles, but the work. I mean, when I read this, I thought to myself, the work we have to do, okay, we declare a national authority, a national priority, that's the new thing is a national priority. I seem to see that we're skimping on the words, but maybe it should be national priorities to be performed by the national, something like that, you know, that it's just a bit of clearer than just what national priority. That is one of my questions. That is not the principle. Is anyone else on the principle or the technicality as well? Anyone else in the department?
I think this is also to provide for, I think, for say more strategic programs, like it is the discussion with or with the so-called strategic infrastructure program.
Infrastructure.
Right now, cabinet is considering a bill to actually align the education processes so that the infrastructure delivery is not undermined. So we are not sure the best wording. I think the principle is that we are
the cabinet can say that there's an environmental issue or that we have an environmental impact with the national investment in health.
Yes. But I think we would work, as we were saying, in the spirit of cooperative government, working with the relevant authorities, because even if it's pronounced as such, the key is to make integrated decision-making process such that it is in line.
That is my next question. My next question is, how do we make this transparent? Because, I mean, for all the people that deal with environmental authority authorization, for every problem, mining, etc., I mean, I think these problems, they would be part of this in the cabinet level. So what process are we going to create that there's a transparency to it? For example, the one thing I'm thinking of is that when cabinet makes such a decision, that there's a publication in the government today, the focus is published in the government today, all renewable energy will now be a national priority in terms of peace and da-da-da. So there's a public way of acknowledging that, and I think also it should be held in Parliament. So publication and enabling Parliament would be my two protest issues I'm raising, so that at least there's some transparency to this process. Any of the members want to raise any issues on this? It's a very hard question. Are we happy with it? So to add some transparency processes, publication and handling in Parliament. Okay. So those two must be added. Of course, regardless, I don't know if you have such a clause here, but from now on, any legislation that comes here, when it comes to regulations, you automatically always put a clause in that those regulations must be handled in Parliament 30 days before publication. That's a standard clause I want for regulations. Okay? So that those regulations, I'm not saying approved, being tabled, but what that gives us a chance to get the regulation, we can look at them and say, I can then pick up the phone and phone the deed and say, DG, that's our vision. Incredible. We want to engage with it. And it's great, a nice little mechanism for us to know that there are regulations without impeding the process too much. It's a 30-day thing. So get on the standard course and put it in this 1 year, the 30-day, okay? And then we'll add... So in principle, we don't have a problem with it. We think we need... The wording must be more precise. So we want more precise wording. What is it the government is deciding? It's deciding to declare any competence under section so-and-so as a national priority to be dealt with by the national department. Something like that. Once the government has made such a decision. Does it need to be a bit more clear? And then it must be published in the government gazette. Once cabinet has decided so, then secondly it must be tabled in Parliament. Okay? That then creates at least a more transparent system. And the example we've used is a good one. And if it's more transparent, then if people have objections that it's been done, at least they've got a space to say, but we think this is going to create problems. Okay. All right. Everyone happy with that? That new amendment, it seems to create more flexibility. And then also catches for not removing all the other bans. This creates a more flexible system that you only take where there is a national priority, only take those and make them sure they can add on, instead of removing all that from the property. I think this is a much better way of dealing with it. Over and above where it's done. Okay, then section four. Section four, can I remind members what this is about? Remember I had my lecture on when I went through explaining the Constitution, that when it comes to concurrent powers, environment use, that the Constitution on the legislative side gives the power to both national and provincial. Therefore, both of them can make laws on absolutely anything that affects environment. If there's a clash between the two, then of course, Section 143 kicks in. 143 in the Constitution creates a mechanism that the court then decides whether it's national or provincial. Okay, so you're in the legislature. Then it comes to who administers. In Section 125 deals with who administers. And basically when it comes to concurrent powers, it says that once national has passed the law on environment, it is administered to have a problem. So if administrative, your national, you can pass national laws, but automatically the administration goes to the province. That is constitutionally, not in terms of legislation, constitutionally, it's the province itself. And this is the part that everyone forgets. In section 925B, it says, unless an act of parliament provides otherwise. So when the department wanted to bring this forward, we said, okay, there is a constitutional mechanism to do it. It's unless an act of parliament provides otherwise. And then we said, but one day if someone challenges this and we go to court, we'll have to justify to the court and say why. The Constitution may give you the power, but whether something that is created in the Constitution, whether you want to take that away, there have to be sound reasons for it. You have to be able to explain that this was a problem. So we see that if we look at such a clause, what we look at, it's not just taking the power away from, say, problems. That there must be a mechanism created whereby you first try and resolve the issue and let the province exercise their power. It is only when that fails as a last resort, then we'll get the power. Now this is exactly what the department has tried to do. They've done this. They said, notwithstanding 6952B of the Constitution, now I've already told the department those words, they may not be right. It's not a notwithstanding clause. It's because of the clause, not the clause. Whenever an MSP fails to take a decision on an application or an authorization within the time period prescribed by this act, in terms of this act, is a difference. This act means the time frame must be in the act. In terms of the act, it will be in regulation. So I imagine it's in regulation. So it's probably not this act, it's probably in terms of this act. The applicant may apply to the minister to take the decision. The application condiment must contain sufficient information and all the records and documents required under the Act in order to enable the minister to make. Now add, I think we should add here, including copies of all the documents that were sent to the NEC or the other person that didn't make it. Alright? Make it clear. Now, this is the step that they suggested. Before taking the decision contemplated in section 4, the minister must establish the status and the cause of the delay of the application. Remember, we said that's the first step. First, check the MSC, why is it a damage on the land? Then, once that has happened, direct the MSC to take a decision within a specified time period determined after consultation with the MSC. So you check with the MSC, why didn't you do this? The MSC says, well, I was sick and the DG was sick and my wife was sick and that's why I was sick again and my daughter was sick and so on. So you say, okay, everyone was sick, you could take a decision. Will you then take a, can we agree to take a decision within and make money? So that's the second one is you then direct the minister of the MSC to take a decision. And then C, take the decision in the event of the MSC having to take a decision within the certified period contemplated. So those are the steps. Now, the one thing I think that we should be able to do is what will happen if the NEC doesn't respond? This is all working on the basis that the NEC will respond. What happens if the NEC says, well, I'm not going to respond? So I think that's not catered for yet. And the other one that I think we should say here is that after A is that the minister can give any direction for the purposes of making sure that such a decision is expedited or taken. So here we just say and direct that the decision must be taken. But it may well be when you get explanations on the MSC, there's a whole other lot of things that must first be done. Now you're not catered for that possibility here. So I think we need to put a possibility. I think if you look at the Constitution, I think it's 10 in 100. You know, in the Constitution where you take over a province's power, one of the powers in the Constitution is to give directives. So use a similar wording as that in the Constitution. So I think we do the directives one as well. So, establish the status of the course of the day, that is an application. then maybe we should say whether a response is received or not, to start like that, give any directive that may be necessary, so whether a response is received or not, and thirdly, also whether a response is received or not, directly anything to take it to. So maybe B should really be split in two. The one is a directive and the one is a decision. And then you come to the C and you take it.
Just in terms of the minister that we keep, should the minister or should the role in direction have to give the agency an opportunity, a time frame, that if the agency does not respond in 10 days, if the minister would go ahead and
do that? That's what I'm saying. After that, after you've asked the MEC for their decision, the first thing we're going to say is directive. The minister gets issued a directive. But if there's no response, the minister issues a directive and says, look, now there's no communication. Say, if they don't respond to you within these amount of days, I'm now then going to act in terms of this or the act. Or, I've now seen your reasons, it's clear to me, we need more information and so on, I therefore direct that the following thing must be because they may need more information than why the NEC can't make the decision. So that gives us scope and some flexibility to deal with it. And then the B part, once those things are done, then you can say, okay, well, there's no other way than for me to then to tell you, you will make a decision within 10 days. I will take over the power. And then largely the power is taken over. So then there's a nice phased way of being. And then from the signed wording in the beginning, this act or in terms of this act, we must include the documentation that's given to the MSP. We must bring in the issue of the directive. So we've got all those things. And the other thing that I've written, Garland, is in the memorandum. You must give a full explanation of section 125, how it operates, and what we're trying to do here. And that there's a good explanation somewhere so that people can clearly see that this is what we're trying to do, that the Constitution allows us to take the power over. We've taken a study in court, we just don't want to take the power over. We also don't want the National Minister to be flooded by applications to say that these entities haven't been decided. We're now creating a mechanism so that can be all streamlined and that the National can have a mechanism to be able to move these things, and if everything fails, then the minister can take over the power. That must now be nicely explained in the memorandum of, what do you call it? Object.
Just to committee's attention that the text is the plan and it includes schedules and regulations and in the notice issued under this act.
Okay, under the definition
of the act. And then, Jefferson, we are a bit worried that when the council and that and the MEC did not respond that the applicant will immediately submit to the market and we may be flooded with these type of applications. Now, one thing that the committee can consider is that the applicant will put the MEC in the if you do not respond.
Good idea. So work that into it. That in an instance where an applicant would want to make use of this feature, then they must first put the MEC on terms and give the MEC, let's say, 30 days to deal with the objection in a way. Only thereafter can they then approach the minister. That's a good one. So the applicant put the MEC on terms. You see, and the directors were also allowed, doesn't mean that the minister now is automatically taking over the power. And if the directors, you may actually give a directive to say, no, I think this has to be best placed with the MEC, and that the MEC has provided me a report within 2 months, you know, I'll follow them, you know. So there's a lot of ways you can then deal with the two directors. All directors can then give you flexibility. It doesn't mean that the minister is going to take over the power. It's only if all the things that work in the director, then the other things can be. Okay. I think it's worth a better workable system. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to check on the memorandum that this is an exception. An exception only something to that effect.
Well, when you give the explanation to say we created the phrase to make sure that it's only exceptional cases that are broken, you say that the phrase says that you created in this act exactly is to try and avoid that two of these cases get taken over by the minister. Because through the directives and through the, all those things, the minister can then do a whole lot of things before taking over the power. And so you can say that in the memorandum quite clearly, that the phrase approach exactly allows for only the exceptional circumstances to be taken over. Another thing I want to think about target, is how transparent you want to make this process. I'm a bit worried to suggest citation and occasionally problems that you can because I mean if people start taking a lot of decisions that happen here, there's a bit of an impossibility. So maybe what we should think of is a mechanism that's something that a report parliament will take every 6 months. Take quite a year. Every 6 months a report to parliament reporting on the application, how this has been applied in practice. I don't understand that. Then I could create some openness and transparency at least. Okay, so reports. Once a year in the first term, we'll make it that so you have a whole year when you draft a report and you table it in the first term, and you've got you table it in the first term. So we then go forward to have a look at it. So get some winning there, Mark. Anything else from this cause? I'm actually happy with what we've got here. Once we've got it drafted, I think it's going to be nice. And if we then take the object clause and explain actually what it says, it actually paints a good example of how to deal with section 125E. Dr. Kwong, can you handle
that? Yes, I think that if your chief was actually, I must confess, you say that after K, he's the director to the NEC for which I can't use. If we say the director is MEC to take a decision within 30 days or the 49 days, otherwise this one is usually for the sufficient time period. This is usually can postpone for the 6 months of the MEC. Yes, this one not time for me. So if we say it's in 30 days.
Now, well, in the directors, we're doing that kind of like a new form. The state of this can be given directors. They will pursue it, including specified
time frame. Because the chairman, of course, they say the determined after consultation with the NEC. So if we give the 30 days, say, within the 30 days, then after consultation with the NEC, then everything is fair. It's already clear you are fair. So a minister can do it in the direction. Thank you.
That is exactly what they have in mind with it. What you're saying is exactly what happened. Make it quite clear that there must be time for it. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is we create this power, and people come to us and say, now not the energy is not taking a decision, the minister is now taking a decision, holding up the process. So where we say directors on that, and when we say taking direct energy, everywhere that we say, including specified time frames. So it's very clear that that's part of the process. Alright, anyone happy with that? So we'll get a new wording. I think all the things we wrote in here is not going to make a lack of something we can look forward to. Okay. Alright, what's the time? I'm very hungry. So we'll take about 5 minutes to walk down. Although we've got old people here as well.